The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker tov, chodesh tov. I think we suffer from election anxiety disorder.
Right.
And that, I think, puts everything into context.
We are expecting
our government to be dissolved today, the Knesset to be dissolved today, and for Yair Lapid to take over as Prime Minister. The rumor has it that he will not be staying at his home in Ramat Aviv as Prime Minister in the way that Naftali Bennett decided to stay at his home in Ranana as Prime Minister, because obviously there are security issues. And we understand that the Prime Ministerial residence in Balfour Street in Jerusalem is uninhabitable. So the way that things are going to turn out is that we understand that Yair Lapid's team have decided to take a residence in Balfour Street, which is 200 meters away from the official Prime Minister's residence. Apparently, it served as an embassy, I think, for the Guatemalan embassy, if I'm not mistaken. But now it's going to be turned into a prime ministerial residence near to the prime minister's residence. So obviously, security-wise, it's a lot easier to cope within that particular area because it's in the street anyway where the prime minister's residence is situated. And it will mean that he can get on with doing the job of prime minister without being concerned about annoying his neighbours, Naftali Bennett has done very successfully in Ranana.
So what happens in Ranana now? Do all those walls and everything come down, or does he still have more? Does he still have security, given that the fact that he was prime minister?
He will certainly have to have some element of security for an ongoing basis, and I'm guessing over time that it'll be somewhat reduced. There was a rumour going around the city that there was a tender that had already been published for somebody to take down the barriers. So I'm not exactly sure what security will remain in place once he leaves office. I will tell you more when I've had a drive around the neighborhood in the next few weeks to see what's happening there. And just on a sporty question, that's sporty, not a question, because that's Louis Karpus's job, but a sporty story before we get into the rest. A really, really great story to see that Israel's national youth soccer team has made history by advancing to its very, very first ever European final. It beat France in the semi-final, and it will be up against England in the final on Friday, which has been played in Slovakia. So for the very first time, the Israeli national youth soccer team, it's the under-19 team, will be in a European final, which is really great news.
Absolutely right. Police arrested a man who tried to stab an Israeli security personnel in the old city of Jerusalem. What happened?
Yeah, so this was an incident that took place yesterday where a man with a knife apparently just approached security people who are always situated in Jerusalem's old city. It's not difficult to find them. Those people who've been in the old city of Jerusalem recently will confirm that it's very, very difficult to go anywhere in the old city without seeing armed security guards, border police, military police, Israeli police, a whole mixture of people always arming and circulating, protecting the area of the old city. This was not too far from the Temple Mount area, and we understand that when he attempted to stab the security policeman, and then he escaped, and very, very quickly the Israeli security cordoned the area off. The man in question was found. He was arrested. Apparently a knife was found near the area, which is apparently the knife that was used to try to stab this particular security policeman. And so all's well that ended well, because nobody was injured in the process, and the man that they were looking for was arrested. And the incident itself was not that serious given the outcome. But I think it's just an indication of the ongoing threat that we find in Jerusalem. And it was only, I think, last week when there was another attempted stabbing. So unfortunately, things in Jerusalem remain pretty tense. And Howard, it just goes back to the comments that you made from when you were in Jerusalem and how you felt the tension that was in the city.
And it hasn't eased. Unfortunately, it just hasn't eased, has it?
It really hasn't eased significantly, even though we really do try to go about our daily business, particularly people who live in Jerusalem, people who like to visit Jerusalem. Now is the summertime. Children will be going on their school holidays. are gradually going on school holidays. The high schools are already closed up. Their primary schools will be closing up at the end of this week. So many people will be heading towards Jerusalem, those people who like to stay in Israel and to travel around a little bit. And there's no doubt that Jerusalem will be a lot busier in the coming days and weeks. And so obviously the security there will be increased. And unfortunately, the situation really has not eased.
No, it is a real pity. Israel has downgraded the severity of the travel warning to Istanbul. So that's good news. What is the current status?
So it is good news, and it comes with a slightly sort of ironic twist to it, because as I reported, Foreign Minister Yair Lapid did travel to Ankara last week, at the end of last week, to visit with his Turkish counterpart and some of the members of the Turkish security organization in order to thank them for the cooperation that Israel received during that period when there was such a high risk, and then certainly lots and lots of activities, lots of arrests that were made of Iranians who apparently were circulating around Istanbul, and some pretty spy-thrilling stories of Israelis who were rescued from areas of Istanbul and brought home because of an immediate threat to their lives. So that was Yair Lapid last week in Istanbul. No sooner had in Ankara. No sooner had Yair Lapid left Ankara than who would arrive in Ankara? The Iranian foreign minister,
wow,
who landed in Ankara to pay a visit to Turkey for talks on bilateral issues. Now, this is Turkey playing both sides of the coin in a classic sort of way. On the one hand, helping Israel to avoid this Iranian threat, and then no sooner have the Israeli delegation left Ankara than we have the Iranian foreign minister coming in for a friendly visit. It seems really, really strange that Iran could launch such an operation on Turkish soil and the Iranian foreign minister be received as a friend by the Turkish government at the same time. Having said all of that, yesterday the Israeli government decided that the threat in Istanbul itself had subsided somewhat. So instead of a very, very high threat, the level has been reduced to medium. The level of threat in general in Turkey remains on a relatively high footing. So medium is considered quite high, not the highest, but obviously somewhere in the middle. And so there are still warnings for Israelis to be very, very cautious when visiting Turkey, when visiting Istanbul, wherever they happen to go. But at the moment, at least, that level of intensity of the threat that was perceived over the past few weeks has subsided, and the Turkish will be very happy to see that this threat has been reduced, because it means that it's likely that more Israelis will probably visit Turkey as tourists over the coming weeks and months.
Absolutely, and especially now in the summer. The U.S. ambassador to Israel has appealed appealed to the Likud to support the passage of a bill through the Knesset that will advance his effort to implement the visa waiver program for Israelis. Why is a bill actually needed here?
So this is an interesting story, because Tom Nides, who is the U.S. ambassador to Israel and actually is in the U.S. at the moment preparing for the upcoming visit of President Joe Biden to Israel, has actually appealed to members of the Likud party to help this legislation pass through the Knesset before the Knesset is dissolved later today. So this is a really, really urgent appeal. And this comes against the backdrop of Israel applying to be included in the visa waiver program. The visa waiver program is essentially a program that would allow Israelis to visit the United States without the necessity to get a US visa before traveling. Just to give people an idea of what that means today, if someone wishes to travel to the United States and applies today to the US embassy for a visa, apparently the first appointment that you can get in order to be evaluated as to whether you deserve to get a visa is more than 12 months away from now.
What?
That is the length of time that you have to wait to get a US visa. Now, that's not always been the situation, but for some reason, in this post-COVID period madness that we're going through right now, that is the reality of the situation. So obviously, getting into this visa waiver program means a lot to many people who would just avoid the wait. I mean, if you need to get to the US urgently within the next few months, you have no possible way of getting there unless you already have a visa ready and waiting to go. So what the Knesset needs to do is it needs to pass a law that will approve the transfer of certain information to the United States regarding Israelis who have criminal security concerns before they actually board flights which are bound for the USA. So obviously, by getting into the visa waiver program, it means that the United States has less ability to evaluate people who apply to go to the United States. And in order for that situation to come into being, they need the Knesset to agree that Israel will allow the transfer of this information before people board the plane. So without that, there will be no visa waiver program. And the Knesset is about to dissolve today. And who knows when next we will have a Knesset in session, really, even though the election is due to take place at the end of October, perhaps early November. I cannot see a Knesset being constituted so soon. At least I don't see a Knesset being constituted during this calendar year at all. And maybe not even next calendar year, depending on how many elections we're going to need to go through until such time as we can actually get a coalition together. So this is a really urgent thing. If it doesn't happen today, then the chances are that this visa waiver program is on ice indefinitely.
It's really, really quite amazing. I know that the embassy's having, the U.S. embassy is also having very, very significant delays here. In fact, we were trying to assist somebody a couple of weeks ago, try to get hold of the embassy, and they wouldn't do interviews. They wouldn't even respond to us. But that definitely seems to be a global problem. Do we understand why?
We can speculate why. There are some people who say that during COVID, a lot of people didn't travel and a lot of the visas were allowed to lapse and there was no demand at that stage, the regular kind of flow of people applying because there was no travel.
So it created almost like a backlog.
Yeah, and exactly. And then all of a sudden people have decided to return back to traveling and everybody's jumped up and discovered that they don't have passports. By the way, to get a new Israeli passport, which used to be something that could be done within a few days or a week or two at most, is now an almost impossibility as well. And the queues at the Home Affairs in order to get Israeli passports, I think, go also 9 or 12 months back. And there's now been a new program implemented to get emergency passports, which people are able to do within a few weeks. So that's also a big issue. So not only visas, but passports as well are not really easily available. And I think it's all because people weren't traveling during the COVID period. And now all of a sudden have decided that they wish to travel. And maybe there's even more demand than would be usual for this time of year because of those people who've just been stuck for the last few years and wish to try and make up on lost time.
It's really, really interesting how this is. Many of these things are just a global problem. The other concern is that Israel has officially entered the sixth wave of COVID.
Yes. So, unfortunately, this is potentially something that awaits you guys as well, because we're already now 3 or 4 months into the maskless period where we're not obliged to wear, we haven't been obliged to wear masks at all. And all of a sudden, we see a massive, massive uptick in the number of people being diagnosed with corona just in the last few weeks. Apparently, a 25% positivity rate, tests that are being made, 10,000, 11,000 new cases being diagnosed each day. The number of serious cases has risen quite significantly. 285 people apparently currently in serious condition and 56 of them considered to be critical. And so that's really what's been happening within the medical system. We understand that most of the cases that have been diagnosed are the BA5 subtype of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. It doesn't have any major effect in terms of new restrictions being imposed. For example, I saw, I think in France, in that they've reimposed mask wearing in certain situations. That hasn't happened in Israel, although it has been noticeable that the radio has been advertising quite a lot with nice rhyming Hebrew to try to attract people's attention, encouraging people to volunteer to wear masks when they go into closed spaces, when they go into places where there are a lot of people, to protect those who are more vulnerable, to protect the elderly, and of course, as the nice rhyming Hebrew goes on the advert, to protect yourself as well. And so I've noticed that more and more people are wearing masks when they go around. I personally am not one of them yet, and I don't rule out the possibility of me returning to wearing a mask under particular circumstances, not very willingly, mind you, because I've enjoyed having this freedom of seeing people's faces and having a little bit more breathing space. But we definitely are going into a situation, and I know that there has been some speculation that the government may well decide to reimpose some restrictions and to potentially reimpose indoor mask wearing. That hasn't been the case for now, at least not yet. We can't rule it out, but there is certainly a massive, noticeable uptick in the number of people who have corona at the moment.
It's really incredible. What is the hospital situation looking like? Because I think that's probably that's the more important measure, right?
So the hospitals are certainly busier. There is the cases when some of the hospitals are more than 100% occupied in terms of wards, because partially because of corona, not exclusively, but obviously the corona does have an impact. Some of Israel's hospitals are certainly taking the strain, but in the most part, the hospitals are coping for now. No particular extra wards need to be laid on. So people, you know, the hospitals seem to be coping in the ordinary course of business, but it definitely creates some pressure on the medical system. Fortunately, because of the impact of the vaccination program, and because it seems as if though the variant itself is less severe than the previous variants that we've experienced, it seems as if though most people are just getting over it like a flu. And I use those terms somewhat cautiously, because I know people say it's just like a flu.
Right.
We need to deal with
it. It's loaded. Like it is a bit loaded.
But most people, fortunately, are able to get over it with a week of isolation or 5 days of isolation, and they get over it and, you know, don't feel so bad. But certainly it has placed some pressure on the medical system, some increased pressure at least.
And as you said, this is something probably that is going to be coming our way at some point. Israel entered the sixth COVID wave. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.